Hope you all are enjoying the book of Titus. As we've been going through the book of Titus, we've been seeing some great information. One, of how the gospel affects our faith and what we believe, but also how the gospel affects our behavior, okay? Not just our belief, but our behavior. And so as we've been going through the book of Titus, we've been looking at the importance of that. We got to know the gospel. We got to know what the gospel is, and we got to be able to communicate that and say, the gospel is what we stand upon. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is our foundation for everything. And then we can defend that, defend our faith, be able to not be swayed by false teachings and false doctrines, that we don't let anything hinder us or move us away from the simplicity of the gospel. And then we need to model that faith, to model it, to share it and show it, and to be that model example of what it means to be a believer, because our faith is not something just that we believe, but it impacts how we behave. It's not just our doctrine, it's also our deeds that it impacts, the gospel does. And so today we get to finish out the book of Titus, and we're going to talk about furthering the faith. And so if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, and we will read Titus chapter 3. We're going to just read the first two verses, then we'll get into the message this morning. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity that we have to come and hear from you. And I pray that you'd speak to us through your word. May your Holy Spirit move in our hearts, Father, and may you draw us closer to you, Father. Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. I understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back up to verse 1, and let's talk about this. It says, remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready for every good work. Let's just stop right there for a moment. The gospel changes everything about us. And we're not just supposed to love one another, though we are. As believers, we are supposed to have love for one another, love for our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But we're also to be able to have love for all people as well in the community. So not only does it impact how we behave inside the church, the gospel also impacts how we behave outside the church. And he begins by saying, be submissive to rulers and authorities. Now this is written, Paul is living in the day of Rome, where Rome had the mighty hand of rule over the known world. And I would say that we live probably in a... Well, I know we live in a better democratic environment than what they lived then. And he tells them, you got to be submissive to rulers and authorities. The Bible is clear that governments and those who are ruling over us and governing over us are ordained by God. Okay? So that's why we must pray for our officials, our president. We must be praying for our president. Yeah, well, he ain't my president. Well, no, he's the president of the United States. Whether it's your person of choice or not, he's still your president. Your congressmen are still your congressmen or congresswomen. Your senators are still your senators. And it is our duty as believers to be praying for them. Okay? We've got to pray for our officials. We got to show respect for officials. What he's saying here is that you need to be good citizens. You need to be able to respect authority, and you need to be able to make sure that you show honor to those who are leading. Even if you don't agree with them, you show honor. Now, here's the difference, and here's where it comes in. If our government ever commands us to do something contrary to God's ways, then that's when you say, no, thank you, and take the consequences that come. So for instance, when Peter in the early church, when they were preaching, and the rulers and authorities over them said, you shall not speak in the name of Jesus. You need to hush. You need to stop preaching this man named Jesus. And Peter says, you'd come up with your own idea, and you see if it's whether right for us to obey you rather than God. But we cannot help but speak of this name. So in essence, what they were saying is, you can tell us to stop, but we can't not stop. We have to preach the gospel. And if you want to, if you throw us in prison for it, so be it. And that's exactly what they did. They went on and preached the gospel. They got thrown in prison. If they ever would command us to bow down to a statue, then we would need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, no, thank you. We will obey God, and then whatever the consequences may come, so be it. Do you see that? And so he's saying that we as Christians should not be troublemakers in our community, but we should be good citizens, being obedient and ready for every good work. So as believers, as Christians, as a church, we ought to be a blessing to our communities, not a burden. Amen. We ought to look for ways to bless the community, not take from the community. Right? That's one reason why those of you who've been around us for a long time from the very beginning, I'm not a big fundraiser guy. Can't stand churches to do fundraisers. You know, do a fundraiser and sit out in front of Walmart and collect money for the youth group. And I'm like, that's the church's job to fund the youth group, not the world's. Right? There'd be, you know, you'd see people up there standing in the middle of the road, you know, trying to collect money for their church. And I'm thinking, that's not the world's job to fund the church. That's the church's job to fund the church. It's the believer's job to give of their tithes and offerings to fund the church. Hello, amen. Don't shout me down right now, amen. Here we go. And so we have to be a blessing to the community. We are a giver and not a taker. Amen. We should be ready to do everything that we can to help the communities that we live in to be a better place to live in. Okay? And so then it says, speak evil of no one, avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward people. Okay? This is how he's saying we are to live towards outsiders, towards people who are outside the faith, to people who are not believers, that people are a community. We shouldn't go around talking and bashing and bad-mouthing people, right? And, you know, if they get your order wrong through the drive-through, you know, it's not go on Facebook and rant and rave about how horrible they are. Amen? Because I don't know how they do that job, to be honest with you. I tell you, I'm very gracious and patient with drive-through workers because I watch them and I think, how in the world can they do it? I mean, they're sitting there, got somebody speaking in their ear, you know, asking 50 million questions. You know, it's McDonald's. The menu's never changed, but they still ask them all kinds of questions with special orders of this or that, you know, Big Mac, don't put the meat on there, stuff like that. and then so they're having to put it in, pay people back, and all this stuff. I'm like, I don't know how they get it right as much as they do, right? So be gracious to them, right? They're people. Y'all ever get anything wrong? All right then, okay. Be courteous, kind to all people. We are to not bad mouth and ridicule and put down, and be people who gossip around about other people. And talk bad about every single institution and everything and organization. And why, there's something flying down there. Here we go. Hey, man. Some of that confetti. Woo! VBS. But we are to be people who don't hinder the faith, but further the faith. Because, see, we're trying to make impact. We're trying to make impact on the community. We're trying to bless me. We want people to see the goodness of the Lord. And so if we're not putting out goodness and kindness and grace, then they're never going to see the goodness and grace of the Lord Jesus. And so how we live and how we act and how we behave towards outsiders, between people in the community who don't know the Lord, it has an impact on the gospel. Will they hear and see the truth of who Jesus is? Watch this. Why are we supposed to be so loving and kind towards non-believers? Look at verse 3. Very important. Remember, I've told you, the gospel is at the heart and center of everything that we do. Amen. True? It's at the heart and center of what we believe, and it's at the heart and center of how we behave. Now look at verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. You see that? The reason why we are to be kind to non-believers is because we have to realize that if we're a believer now, there was one point in time when we weren't a believer. And so we say, man, they're foolish. Well, we were once. We say, man, they're all just so disobedient. People are just so disobedient. They just don't obey the law. Well, that was us once. Led astray to and slavery to various passions and pleasures. Well, I can't believe they behave that way. I can't believe they act like that. Well, there was a point in time when you were a slave to your passions and desires, and you lived out the lust of the flesh, and you behaved ungodly, and you thought ungodly things, and you said ungodly things, and you were sneaking around behind closed doors, and you were putting stuff out there that shouldn't be put on. We were doing all that stuff at one time, and because we did that one time, we got to make sure that we never forget what it's like to be lost. Because we can get saved and be saved for so long that we forget what it was like to be lost. You see, the Bible is really clear about behavior. The Bible expects Christians to live like Christians. Doesn't expect non-believers to live like Christians. If you are a believer in Jesus, the power of the gospel not only saves you from the penalty of your sin, but he saves you from the power over your sin so that you now are able to live a righteous and holy life that's pleasing to God. And if I'm a believer in Jesus, I'm supposed to live like a believer in Jesus. If I claim to love Jesus, then I need to show that I love Jesus. If I say Jesus is Lord in my life, then I need to be behaving in a way that it demonstrates to the outside world that Jesus is Lord of my life. True? But if I'm not if you're not a believer, then I can't expect a non-believer to act like a believer, right? Well, I can't believe the world. The world's acting like the world. There's a little phrase that a guy that I love very much put this on all of his devotionals. Perry Stevens was a man who's now at home with the Lord. He was one of those guys that you immediately loved. He was fun. He would joke, laugh, cut up. He's a man's man. He loved the Lord Jesus, but also, man, he could crush a softball, crush a golf ball, just sports. Loved to teach his college and career class. Well, several years ago, he had a severe brainstem stroke, and it left him paralyzed to where he could no longer walk. He couldn't speak. He could say a few words. He couldn't speak like he once did. He could move one arm rather decent, and they got him a computer, and he kind of communicated mainly through a computer for several years. And he would write devotions, and he would talk about how the Lord has changed his life and how the Lord has been with him from in the good times and in the bad times and how the Lord has carried him through that tragedy. And so he put out daily devotions. He called them lighthouse beams, and he'd put them out on the website. And he'd write about how God just has been working and touching his life. And at the end of every lighthouse beam, he'd always have a little statement at the bottom that would say, "Pigs don't know, pigs stink." Think about that. A bunch of pigs slumming around like, "Earl, you stink. What's wrong with you?" Lost people act lost because they're lost. Non-believers behave like non-believers because they're non-believers. Okay? They don't realize the mess that they're in until something happens. Until God breaks through. Now look at verse 4. Because he says, this is what we were, but, look at that word but, verse 4. But, something changed, something happened. But, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared. But something changed. Something made me aware. Something opened up my eyes, he says. But when the goodness and the loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Do you see that? He says, we once were trapped in our sin. We once lived a life that was disobedient to God, that didn't love God, that we lived in the passions and the lust of the flesh, of our desires and the worldly desires. But God appeared, and Jesus spoke to me, and he saved me and changed me, and he saved me by his grace, and he made me new. Can you remember the day, believer, that you were saved? Can you remember the day that when the Holy Spirit began stirring in your soul, and he let you know, hey, you need to be saved, you need to know me, you need to confess your sin, you need to call upon the name of the Lord? And many of you, probably like me, you resisted that, and you resisted that, and you tried to put it off and put it off. But there was one day when the Holy Spirit, no more. No more running, no more running. Today is the day. Today is the day to submit and call upon the Lord Jesus. And I remember the day when finally the Holy Spirit broke me and I said, yes, Jesus, save me from my sin. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Come into my life and be my God. You have my life. And the burden of my sin rolled away and a weight was lifted off. Y'all remember that day? That was the day when the light broke forth. And he saved me from my sins. He forgave me of all my sin. And he put the Holy Spirit in me and gave me new desires, new hopes, and a new direction, a new life. And now I love the things that he loves. I hate the things that he hates. And I want to be the person that he's called me to be. And now I'm motivated and I desire to do good things and good works so that I can show the good works of God. Not that to be saved. I don't do good things to be saved. I do good works to further the faith. You see that? How we live our lives will either hinder the faith or further the faith. Either we will help further the faith and share and show how God has changed us, or we'll hinder it. Verse 8, it says, this saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things. That word is very, look at that. I want you to insist. This is verse 8. Go to verse 8. The saying is true. Oh, we're having computer problems, so you got to have your Bible. Sometimes technology fails, but if you have the Bible, you never miss it. Right? Here we go. They got it back up. This saying, he says, is trustworthy, and I want you to what? He says, he's telling Titus, I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God, so he's speaking to believers, for those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to what? These things are excellent and profitable for people. He says, I want believers to be devoted to good works. When you hear the word devoted, what do you think of? What words come to mind? Talk to me. Hear the word devoted, what do you think of? Persistence, but talk to me. I can't hear you very good. My hearing's going. Dedicated, faithful. Dedicated, faithful. Disciplined, repentable. Yeah. Insist, be dedicated, be consistent, be motivated, be zealous. Remember up above in verse chapter 2, he says, God sets himself, separates himself a people who are zealous for good works. That we ought to be on the lookout for good works. Now, how many of you all do this? Oh, Lord, another day. Anybody? You bunch of liars. Come on. There's some days you just don't feel like getting out of bed. Right? I mean, there's some days you're like, man, I'm not looking forward to this day. Lord, another day. I got to go to work. I hate my job. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, this ain't working out. How many of y'all have those days, right? We have those days, you know. And what happens is we get ourselves in a rut, and if we're not careful, we will turn into someone who is always negative, always pessimistic, always pointing out problems, and we're the one that tells everybody why something wouldn't work out. And those folks are miserable to be around, right? I mean, have you ever been around somebody that's always negative and complaining and always griping and fussing all the time? Okay? That will not further the faith. Okay? That's going to hinder the faith. What he says is that we need to have this passion and we need to have this discipline and that we need to be careful to be devoted to good works. That we need to be devoted to good works. We need to be thinking, not, oh Lord, another day, but yes, Lord, another day. You see, this is a different attitude, right? This is a different attitude. Yes, Lord, and yes, Lord, another day. Today I get another chance and opportunity to further the faith. Today I get a chance and opportunity to look for good works. I get to go to work today. All right? You may not enjoy your job at the moment, but you have a job, so be thankful for that. And when you get there, you work as hard and good as you can. I get to be around other people. I'm going to have coworkers around me. I get to speak life into their life. I get to be positive. I get to be encouraging. I get to lift people up. I get to pray with somebody maybe. Maybe I just need to ask somebody, hey, how can I pray for you? You know, is there anything going on you need to talk? And then when I get off work, I get to go to Walmart and I get to stand in lines. I get to, you know, I get a chance to be around other people and spark a conversation and show the goodness. If I have a bunch of things in my buggy and there's somebody by me that doesn't have very many things, I get to say, hey, would you like to go in front of me? I get to say thank you and talk to the lady at the cash register or the guy at the cash register. And I get to speak encouragement to them. Instead of griping and complaining. I get to go home to a wife and kids. I have a privilege and this is for me. And she's always going to use my sermon against me. So here it comes. I know this up front. I need to do better at that. I'll go ahead and confess this. I need to do better at this. So you don't have to tell me that I need to do better. I know I need to do better. I get to look for ways to do good things for my wife. I'll just be honest, sometimes I fail on that. I get to find ways to do good things for my kids. I'm constantly trying to be a person who is devoted to good works. To works that are going to bless and not curse. To works that are going to bring the life of Jesus to people and situations and not the death. Does that make sense? So what would that look like if every believer here in Montgomery County and the surrounding counties, that you go and you live this week being zealous and devoted and thinking, now what good works can I do today for the glory of the Lord Jesus? What kind of change would that make? What would that change at your workplace? What would that change at your home? What would that change on the ball field? How would that change and impact your life? What are the good things that we can do for the glory of God? You see that? I mean, I'm thinking amazing stuff right there, aren't you? Because we live in a world where everybody's, you know, seems like they're depressed and angry and, you know, and just sour. If we're believers and saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Almighty and we're going home to heaven one day, we ought to look for ways to make him look so glorious that everybody wants to come. That's what Jesus said. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify my Father in heaven. Right? We don't do good works to be saved. We do good works because we've been saved. And he's been so good to us. We once were so messed up, but he cleaned us up and he gave us a new life and a new start. And now we're different people. We have a different purpose. We have a different hope. We have different passions and desires. We are zealous for good works. These are excellent and profitable for people. Not just Christians. This is profitable for all people. For everyone. To the believer and non-believer. Because everywhere we go and everything that we do is an opportunity to further the faith. Look at your neighbor and say, we've got to further the faith. Further the faith, that's what it's about. Now, verse 9 and 11, just kind of paraphrase this because we talked about this in another sermon. He's basically saying, do not go after false teaching, false doctrine. Don't get sucked into myths and false teaching and doctrine. If anybody is contentious and tries to cause division, correct them once, correct them twice. And if they're still trying to bring division, just put them off to the side and don't pay any attention to them because they're harmful to the work of God. The final greetings of Titus is also important. And I think it shows from beginning to end how Paul wants Titus to make sure that the Christians on the island of Crete are effective. That one, that they've been saved and they know that they're saved. And two, that they model that and further it. Look, he says, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Now watch what he says in verse 13. He talks about two men who are effective and workers in the ministry. He says, do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. Okay? There's these two men. Apollos was a popular preacher in that time. Two men that are carrying out the mission of the gospel. And Paul says, make sure they're taken care of. Make sure that they have everything they need so they can do what God's called them to do. How many of y'all realize that financial investment is important to keep the kingdom of God advancing because it takes money to bless people? Right? I mean, if you're going to help feed people, somebody's got to pay for the food. If we're going to do Vacation Bible School and make it so cool that kids are like, that takes money. Everything that we do takes money, and we have to further the faith. And so he says, I want you to take care of these guys. Make sure that they don't lack anything so that they can carry on and do God's business. And he says, and let our people learn. Watch this. He says this again. You think this is an emphasis here? Let our people learn to devote themselves. Again, there's that word again. Devote themselves to what? To good works. To good works. Now, we have had some people out here this week, and Pastor John and Pastor BJ and Megan and her slew of crew and all kinds of other women out here have poured all kinds of time into making VBS look like it looks. Yeah. They have spent countless hours making Vacation Bible School exciting for kids. Isn't it great when the church works together? You see, in our church, how we like to do things is we like for people to operate in the gifts that God has given them. So we believe that the church is full of people that has been given supernatural gifts and talents. And when they use those gifts for his glory, good things happen. And we can do a lot more together than we can individually. Right? Now, if we were just a little small group that met in our homes or some small place, we might be able to do some neat things. But the more that we have that's put together, it becoming bigger things. Right? So, well, I don't know why y'all spend so much time investing, putting all kinds of stuff on for kids at Vacation Bible School. I'll tell you why. Not that anybody said that, but probably some people think that. I'll tell you why. For some kids, this will be the closest thing they get to Kings Island. And we have parents tell us that our kids look forward to this week. We are going to have over 400 kids come through this building. And some of them are going to be like, oh, man, that's cool. I mean, the robots, they had real robots in the church, right? They had a dinosaur. And they're going to hear about Jesus. And not only are their kids going to be in here, their parents are going to be here as well. And we have an opportunity for the goodness of God to shine through and the gospel to be proclaimed, and that hearts and lives and families could be eternally changed. Huh? That's some good works. What do you think? That's some good works. He said that they may be devoted to good works so as to help cases of urgent needs, making sure that needs are met, and not be what? Unfruitful. All that are with me, send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith, to believers. That you not be unfruitful. Isn't that what Jesus' point was? That we are to bear fruit. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains in me, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. By your fruit, Jesus said, you will know them. Not that our fruit is what saves us or our good works is what saves us, but it's evidence that we have been changed. I'd say this, if you do not love God, if you don't have a passion to love God, serve him, and live a life that's pleasing to him, you're not a believer. You're not a believer. You say, yeah, well, I'm a member of a church. Doesn't matter. There's a lot of people going to be in hell that's been members of churches. You say, well, I got baptized. Doesn't matter. There's a lot of people that go in the water lost and go out of the water lost. Okay. You say, well, I did a lot of good things. I was a Boy Scout. Doesn't matter. If you do not have a desire that loves Jesus and wants to follow and obey him, that's evidence that you're not a believer. How do I know that? Because I know that there's going to be many who will call on him on that last day and say, Lord, Lord. He's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you. There will be people who think they're getting in that will not get in on the day of judgment. Because they were trusting in their own works and not the works of Christ. You see, the gospel says that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And that Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God that died on the cross for my sin. And that he rose again on the third day. And he's coming back. And on the cross, he took on my sin. So all of my guilt, all of my shame, all of my lies, all of my worldly lust, desires, he took. And when I called upon him and said, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life, forgive me. He exchanged my sin for his righteousness. And he clothed me with his righteousness so that I might be called a child of God. And he put in me the Holy Spirit who now gives me new desires and a new way to think, a new way to live, and a new way to behave. And I serve him and follow him because he has been so good to me. He's changed me. The gospel. The gospel changes me from the inside out and moves me to do good works, not so that I might be glorified, but so that he might be glorified. Amen? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have an invitation. If you don't know Jesus as Lord, you can come and say, Grant, man, I need to be saved. We can get that taken care of today. Okay, we can call upon the name of the Lord today. Okay, I'm going to also ask anybody who would be willing to come and pray for Vacation Bible School. Let's flood this altar with prayers for God's Spirit to move in the lives of children, youth, teenagers, and their parents. Okay, now we've got some graffiti up here. It's kind of thin paper, but it's paper nonetheless. And if you want to, I'm going to ask you to grab a couple of these pieces and take them home with you. And some of you may have signed up for VBS and you're going to be out here all week long. And some of you may have not. You said, well, I don't know what I can do. I can't help. I don't know. What you can do is pray. So I'm going to ask you to take one or two or whatever these pieces of paper and place them somewhere, maybe on your office desk, maybe in your car, somewhere at your home, and on the mirror, wherever, and let this be a reminder of Vacation Bible School. And when you see it, will you pray for God's Spirit to move in the hearts and lives of the young people and the families? Okay? And let's bathe this Vacation Bible School in prayer. Let's allow God to do great things. Let's let people see the good works that God's people has done so that they may see how great our God is. And they may too hear the gospel and be saved. What do you think? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. We love you. And Lord, this week you have blessed us with a unique opportunity. Our kids are going to learn that they are uniquely designed by you and that you are their creator and that in you they will find all of their hope and peace and purpose. So we pray, God, for a movement among the people that will be coming, the kids, Lord, the parents who will bring them. Lord, today, right now, in this service, if there's a man or woman who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, never called upon you, and trusting in what you did on the cross to save them, would you speak to their heart? And may they come and receive mercy and grace today. Lord, may we be obedient and may we honor you in all that we do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's come. Let's come. Let's pray for Vacation Bible School, church. Let's flood this place with prayers.